Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess 5150, welcoming you back to the All Things Nerd podcast. It's time. It's the end of the year. It's time to look back on our favorite topics, discussions, and laughs for 2019. This is the best ofs, and we hope that you enjoy it. On this episode, we look back on our farewell to Stan Lee and how Marvel Comics and DC Comics commemorated him. We also talk about the smart toilet from Kohler that lets you use Alexa, and the winners of the Consumer Electronics Show 2019, the student that won his science fair project with the hypothesis of why Tom Brady is a cheater, and Disney Plus, what their original content that they had planned to come out. This is prior to watching it, so hopefully you're watching it and you're enjoying what's going on with Disney Plus, because I know I am loving Baby Yoda and The Mandalorian. If you guys enjoy these shows, if you enjoy what you hear, if this is the first time finding us, please make sure to subscribe so that you get more. Come join us on January 3rd, drop a 5-star review, and keep nerding on. Enjoy the look back.
Oh, come on, that's the best you can do.
DC Comics did a very, very classy thing, and I want to know what your guys' thoughts or opinions are on this, but over the next month of comics, I think, that are coming out, they actually released the very first page of their comic books are going to be a black page with a memorial to Stan Lee in the DC Comics. Any thoughts or opinions?
I love it. I think it's great.
Go for it.
I got to find the actual phrasing.
Yeah, sorry. I was just pulling it up so I could actually show it.
I saw that on Marvel, though. That was what the article was.
Well, there's a Marvel one and a DC one.
Marvel's doing a different thing. So you expect it from Marvel, but the fact that DC did one is really, really cool.
Well, it just goes to show you that there really is no rivalry. I mean, it's fun to...
There's a rivalry.
I mean, there's a rivalry, but at the core of it, it's all nerd, you know, like you can still appreciate, you can be a DC guy at heart, but still love the things that Stan Lee brought to, you know, the comic world in general, and maybe helped influence in the DC world, even if they'll never admit it, you know.
Oh, they admit it. And they're talking about how he was, you know, he had volunteered to do cameos in their movies or write for them or whatever. And we talked before about how Stan Lee was sort of universally loved in the nerdverse. Mm-hmm. But the actual thing, and I think this is great, it says, with utmost respect from the distinguished competition, Excelsior, in memory of Stan Lee. And that's just going to be in the front of the comics for like a month. So I think that's simple. It's classy. Really like that movie.
Well, it just goes to show that when it comes to genres or things like this, in this situation, like comic books and everything, there are your writers and then there's your Mount Rushmore, and Stan Lee is definitely on there. And DC obviously did the right thing, because, you know, as much as you want to sit there and say that Superman starts it all, but bottom line, it doesn't matter whoever influences everything in general. And Stan Lee, he had a big influence in the comic world. And we mentioned this, I don't even know how many months ago when we were talking about Stan Lee, about how it's just not in the comic books, it's just in pop culture in general. He's influenced so many different aspects of it that, I mean, that's the least they could do for him.
Yeah. Our producer, Jack, says Stan Lee is not dead. He has just returned to the future to lead us in the great war against the evil at the end of time. Bitter Desert Rat, Bearded Desert Rat, who's part of our Smack Talk podcast, who's joined us in the cast. Thanks for joining the chat, Bearded. Rivalry aside, it goes to show that the talent and legacy of a legend is to be respected. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Icy.
I think I actually like the DC tribute a little bit better than the Marvel one, because the Marvel one's just on some of those.
You're getting ahead of me. But
Slow down, buddy. You know, I mean, the other thing you got to think about is that Stan Lee meant a lot to the comic book genre, just because if it wasn't for his creative ideas for a lot of the comic books on the Marvel side during the 60s and 70s and 80s, when comic books were almost on the way out the door, some of his characters that he created and helped create and everything actually was able to sustain the industry to a point where he created good enough characters to where it brought it back to life, i.e. like, say, the X-Men, for example, and whatnot. These are all characters that can be contributed for the fact that comic books are not dead.
Absolutely not. Okay, so in the terms of Marvel's memorial to Stan Lee, what they did was they made it very just streamlined, put what the name of the comic was at the bottom corner, and just put at the top Stan Lee 1922 to 2018. And this is what I wanted to put to this, is that yes, this is a memorial where you see Stan Lee 1922, 2018 at the top of it, but printing gets done quite a bit earlier and starts getting everything. Your artists are creating and drawing, and they've got other stuff to draw and stuff like that. I think a lot of these covers, while they're poignant and look like they are an actual ode to Stan Lee, I think they were already in the works and they just threw this black bar on there.
They did.
It's obvious when you see some of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A lot of these, it looks like the character on the cover is responsible for his death in some way.
All of them, except for the Fantastic Four one, is that all the characters, or at least one, if not all of them, are looking right back at you. So it's almost like they're looking back to say, I don't know, maybe looking for Stan or saying goodbye to Stan, something like that. It just seems like all the Spider-Man one and Scorpion were looking straight at you. I mean, they all look like they're looking at. That's something I noticed about all of them, except for the Fantastic Four.
It's just crazy that most of them came out with a really dark look to them, as opposed to like the Fantastic Four one and the X-Men one. But they all have like this kind of dark thing. So on the two sides, which memorial do you like more? DC's memorial to Stan Lee, or them putting the black bar?
I think the DC one clearly shows that it was actually planned as a tribute. I think this one, they already had the covers in place. Like, they didn't go back and just say, well, we're going to create these covers in memory of his death and then stick the bar on the top. But it's kind of cool in regards to the bar at the top, because it kind of looks like a written version of his cameos in the movie. Like, I mean, seriously, because he's not the sole focus of it, but there he is. Poof, I'm on the cover. Like, look at me. I'm going to pop up. I'm going to make one more cameo, you know?
I would give it to DC just because they didn't have to do that. I mean, they could have just easily put something in all their little comic books on the back page, on the front, opening up and everything. But instead, they totally blacked out and put just that one simple message. And that shows class and respect to the man, Stan Lee. You're right. Marvel wasn't anticipating him passing away. They already had these all done, and so they just put that on there, slapped it on, and say, "Bye, Stan. We're going to make our money." But DC actually went out of their way and said, "Hey, here you go, guys. This is what we really do think about Stan the Man."
Yeah, they're spending the money on black printer ink. That's expensive.
Yeah, Jack says Stan was a symbol of hope. He said the Fantastic Four is the only one that he thinks is appropriate, and then he said DC, of course, had the better.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack says, "Well, you always get more respect from your foe than your family." Yeah, that's makes perfect sense with DC. But I really hope that Marvel does a little bit more in terms of memorial for Stan. I don't know. Yeah,
he's gonna need a 350-foot-tall statue at some point
in front of the Marvel right. Building. Should be a statue. Yeah,
they might. Don't rule it out.
No, I'm saying they need that.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
I think they can get it approved.
On to our next story. Let's go into a more lighthearted chit-chat, because this one's getting heated. speaking of getting...
I will stab you.
speaking of getting heated, you know... We have this segment we call Somebody's Gotta Talk About It, because it's the weird stories, the odd stories. And Kohler is coming out with, of all things, a smart toilet that you can talk to with Alexa and ask it to heat your seat for you.
What else can you ask it to do? Alexa, for my cookies.
Yeah,
Alexa, check my colon.
Alexa, play episode one of Game of Thrones.
It will play. It'll read. You can literally have it read everybody.
Oh. You. Now I just want to have a toilet that plays the Game of Thrones theme song all the time.
I just want to know if you can command it to flush by saying, Alexa, eat my crap.
I was thinking along the lines of, like, literally somebody will be like, Alexa, warm the seat, I'm coming to sit on you. And it won't be in a bad derogatory term.
Not have enough imagination with that.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to be Wayne, your excrement.
Alexa, how much more protein do I need in my diet?
Alexa, how's my fiber intake?
Don't they already have smart toilets that aren't tied into like Alexa and stuff that do?
Yeah,
like,
but they're all in Japan.
Yeah,
Alexa, read my log of logs.
What music would you have Alexa play? You said
you can have an Alexa diary that's your log of logs.
Yeah, it's got speakers in it as well, so it'll actually play music for you. That's
crazy.
So,
Kenny G's Rage Against the Machine.
I think in this case, I have to take a page out of Chris Evans' book and say that's where technology's gone a little too far, and I don't need it in my toilet.
Well,
hard disagree with the seat warmer.
The seat warmer is nice.
Seat warmer is fine.
That's pretty nice.
The minute that seat warmer starts talking to me and asks me if the temperature of the seat is okay for my bum.
If I get a warm seat and an auto bidet, I'm going to stay in there.
I mean, so on Super's thought, is this going too far to add Alexa to a toilet?
I don't know. It sounds kind of shitty.
If it's, do you remember from last year when there was an issue with Alexa randomly laughing in people's houses?
Oh, good.
Yes.
Now picture that coming from your toilet as you're sitting on it. In the middle.
Even worse. Picture it.
Stop laughing at me.
As you're standing over it and peeing, and all of a sudden it starts laughing. So many males would get complexes off of that.
I mean, at least I sit there and say Alexa is truly recording everything. How about that?
Amazon knows too much about me already.
It's the Noomi 2.0 intelligent toilet. And other smart bathroom products. So there's other stuff coming that was introduced at CES 2019. Their response to it was, connected technology is driving innovation in the smart home category, but connectivity alone isn't enough. We believe in leading with design and seamless incorporating the right technology so that our customers can personalize their bathroom experiences to be just right for them.
Yeah.
I want it to encourage me. Like, to be like, good job. Now all you got to do is wipe. We're all cheering for you.
You remember the inflatable autopilot in the movie Airplane? I'm picturing an inflatable hand that will hold yours while you poop.
Eventually, Amazon starts sending you random rolls of toilet paper to kind of adjust it to your bum needs for your hairy bum, or your not so hairy bums, or your sensitive bums. There you go.
It says you can ask questions about the weather outside. It's interesting where technology's going and what they're looking to focus on.
I just want every single marketing department for every one of these big companies to have a 14-year-old on staff, where they pass the idea by the 14-year-old, and if the kid laughs, you realize, oh, this is a silly idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the one person that I think that would totally buy a smart toilet just because of the money that they have to burn, it would be Nick Cage. So,
son of a bitch.
Alexa, play Con Air while I'm shitting.
Alexa, put the bunny back in the box.
So, I had to get the drop.
Nick Cage.
Exactly.
But in this case, yeah, it's a brown bunny.
That's a triple.
Okay. That's this week's cast. On that note.
We're ending on brown bunny? Come on.
We're ending on a brown note.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. Let's get into what the other big stuff that happened this weekend. We had the CES Consumer Electronics Expo, and
looking through some of the biggest things that happened out there, Digital Trends gave us the best of what was there. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on this. There was one of the items there was called the Impossible Burger 2.0. And yeah, it's a next-gen burger with iron-carrying molecule heme, which is part of what gives meats a distinctive flavor. However, there is no meat in this whatsoever, but apparently actually tastes for the first time, because I've heard of these things that taste like meat and aren't. I mean,
what a coincidence that it actually comes out the same year they're going to have the Alexa toilet.
Oh, good connection. Well done.
Woo! Yeah.
Well done. Never mind.
The Impossible 2.0 burger. With
thank you for choosing Alexa.
Oh, God.
One of the big ones that they had come out to was a partnership of Disney. I want to know what your guys' thoughts are on this. A partnership of Disney and Audi, because of the way that they're trying to bring out cars that drive themselves. They created an experience for passengers where they wear their Oculus headsets because the car's already driving itself, and they can have adventures with like Rocket, and it senses motion to the fact that if the car turns, the actual whatever ride you're on or whatever goes on that same turn, and it's a crazy. I mean, is this something that we want to see happen where we're covering our eyes because we're in fear of what the self-driving car is going to be doing?
No, I'd much rather have my eyes uncovered. I want to see what that car is doing. I have the steering wheel or a brake pedal, I need to know.
I can't believe we're talking about that versus the actual fact that people are giving them crap for the fact that they might have given an Avengers spoiler out of that too.
yeah, out of the headset?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't look into that factor of it. I didn't want to go anything with spoilers.
Don't want to know.
Yeah. So. I think it'd be interesting, but I think it would be bad for people who get motion sickness.
Well, that's the thing. It keeps you.
I think, yeah, with the VR helmet syncing up with the actual motion that you're doing, I think that wouldn't be so much of an issue. It'd be like if you're riding in a car and looking outside. Wow. If they
tell
do
it. Tell me how fun that would be if you're stuck on the 101 in traffic.
Yeah, I'm going to get shin splints driving to LAX on my Oculus Rift.
Rocket, what are we doing? Wait for traffic. Stop. We can't move. The asteroid's in front of us. Why?
Oh, yes. I want them to have a game like Driver for, you remember the old Sony PS2 game Driver where you had to like, you were the combat driver driving around shooting people. Kind of like GTA, but just the driving. I want that to be what they have so that occasionally they're going to just reach for the steering wheel and maybe crash.
Well, Jackson needs to not get into anything new. They're trying to take over the universe.
The digital universe.
Not wrong. There's only like three companies anymore, right?
There is like five.
Yeah, I guess once you count the food stuff.
Yeah. Depending on what industry you're looking at, I guess.
I mean, when you guys are looking for the
food stuff, that burger.
Yeah.
Like I saw pictures of that burger. That looks like a hamburger. It looked like a really un hamburger, actually.
Yeah. It even had that reddish color for the.
Like, I don't think you're supposed to have a hamburger blue rare. You know, it's not supposed to work.
Not really.
It looked like meat from what they said with the iron content. It tastes like meat.
They said, in fact, we've heard it's so beef-like, it makes vegetarians squirm.
Yeah.
But
I know a girl who's been a vegetarian since she was a child, not because of ideological reasons. She just genuinely doesn't like meat.
Yeah, and it's pointless to make for those people, like the vegetarians. It's like that's who they're trying to get to eat this. And if they think it looks gross, then what's the point?
I mean, you have Harley Davidson coming out with the Livewire, which is their first battery electric model. So your first battery electric Harley Davidson, I think that's pretty freaking awesome.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
It propels it from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds with a lithium-ion battery pack, delivers up to 110 miles of range. The bike's top speed clocks in at 110 miles per hour if you're brave enough to reach it.
Which 110 miles an hour or 110 miles per charge doesn't sound like a lot, but keep in mind most motorcycle tanks are small. So even on bikes that I've had, a full tank would get you like 120 miles.
Now this is a full electric. This isn't a hybrid. This is full electric. So they had to charge it.
Well, it's battery electric. Yeah. So
okay. Full
electric, yeah. But it's Harley. Harley's coming into the new age. So
yeah. Are they going to have competing charging stations with Tesla?
Yeah. Well, and the pricing on it, not bad for a Harley. It starts at $30,000.
Oh, only $30,000.
Four incentives into the equation.
That's basically the price of a fat boy, depending on how many years you have to wait.
That's not bad for an electric Harley. I mean,
no, it's for a full electric. No, it's not bad. It could be worse.
Yeah, and Harley's got a people that buy Harleys are brand loyal. So yeah, if you've got people that want electric bikes, that's where they're going.
Yeah. It has the same sound as a regular Harley. There would be nothing funnier than watching a bike gang go down the highway with all electric Harleys.
Now,
picture Sons of Anarchy, but as they ride, it's just silent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it going to be a completely silent engine? Because, I mean, safety-wise, I mean, it's hard enough, at least when we're driving. I mean, you think that you hear motorcycles coming, and you really don't until they're blown by your window and you're crapping your pants, you know?
Is that why you had to go to the DMV?
Yeah, you know. DMV. But man. You know, it's so safety wise, what are they gonna like make horns now for, you know, something to
I remember there being an issue with the same thing with cars where like the law was passed where they have to make some sort of noise so that
for instance
people know that a car's coming right across the street.
Right.
I don't ever hear a Prius driving down the street. I hear it up, but I don't hear.
Can usually hear the lute music coming from there.
Here's what I got to ask: do we really need it? Do we? You know. Okay. So test card. It's emerging tech. Test card. Maybe you're worried about diabetes and want to check your glucose levels, or you think you may have a UTI, or you want to find out if you're pregnant. Usually, you'd be looking at a doctor's visit or a trip to the pharmacist, but with test card. You can order up a test for just $4, and it'll arrive in a postcard form in the mail. Install the app on your phone, urinate on the card, and then you can use your phone camera as a clinical grade scanner to get your results.
What?
You're not peeing on the phone. Okay.
You're not peeing on the phone.
Why spend $4 on that when you can just go to WebMD? Come on, that's real.
Download the app. Then pee on it. Wait a minute.
I didn't think it was that hard to go to the pharmacy to pick one of those pregnancy tests up.
Yeah, I always know if I'm pregnant or not. I don't know about you guys.
Wait, that's the new pregnancy test?
No, so you can use it to check pregnancy or if you have a UTI or.
Oh my God. I foresee a rash of what's the word I'm looking for?
Teen mom.
I can see someone hacking in.
Misdiagnosis. Thank you. So you're going to get all these parents that are going to be prepping for a baby because their phone told them that they're pregnant, and then 5 months later, and they're still a size 2. They're going to be like, "What's going on here, people?"
Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor, not an iPhone.
It says with the test card. But your test card, your phone will alert you if the results are invalid for any reason. The confirmation you get is completely trustworthy. So,
unless someone hacks into it.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, or like the fun you could have on April Fool's Day? Like, ha, you're pregnant. Ha, psych, April Fool's. Like, come on.
Figuring out to prank people with that thing would be epic.
You go to do a pregnancy test and it says you have a ruptured ACL.
Yeah, come on.
It's just
tennis elbow. What?
The stuff that you get at CF, some of it's like, do we really need it? Some of it's like really, really cool. The wall, which is this huge TV, is kind of cool, but I don't know if people would want to see a wall size version.
Yeah, I think they had the 19 foot from corner to corner.
219 inch TV. Good God, man. That would be phenomenal. You could put it on like the Weather Channel, have the sun going and get a tan naturally, you know, it's all good.
Okay, so the one that actually intrigued me the most, and this is kind of weird for me, was the makeup application thing. Did you read that part where it scans your entire face and picks out any little imperfection and then sprays micro dots of makeup at exactly those imperfections, which means that they have amazing face scanning technology and precision aerosol.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can use it on arms as well. It's just take out freckles and stuff. Yeah, there's just some really cool stuff to look into. Dive into it. Look at CNET. Look at Digital Trends. They have some great articles about the stuff that came out. Football. Probably didn't think we'd talk about football on All Things Nerdcast, but somebody was able to make football fall into the All Things Nerd category. And that was
a science fair?
A young student did a science fair project on proof of why Tom Brady is a cheater and won the science fair and is now going on to district with his science fair project. He did a whole thing about deflating different balls and seeing how far they would throw. And this child is a quarterback as well in Little League. Pop Warner, whatever.
Little League baseball.
What do you guys think? Do you think it's really cool?
I wanted to see more of the data on the thing. I couldn't find a blown up picture of his project anywhere.
I think it's phenomenal. And it's not because I'm an ex-football player or anything like that, but it's actually taking a situation and proving it. And he's 10 years old. Kid was like maybe 3 years old when this actually went down. So he doesn't even remember. He was still crawling around in diapers and everything. So it was like 7 years ago. Whatever. Bottom line, the freaking 10-year-old wins a science fair off of something that everybody, if you're not a Patriots fan, everybody's rooting for that kid to win it. It's just
was the title at the top of the trifold cardboard. Tom Brady's a cheater. Oh, here's the prize, kid.
There you go. Here's the other thing. This child has a name that is destined to be a starting quarterback. His name is Ace Davis.
Yes.
Yeah. Destined for greatness.
As long as he's not drafted by the Cowboys.
No, he's going to be starting for the Houston Texans.
The Browns.
Browns.
He'll either be a star quarterback or he's going to be freaking Napoleon Dynamite's uncle.
But I like
Uncle Rico is the best quarterback ever.
Okay. Go ahead. I like in the article it said that he tested his data with various inflation levels of the balls by throwing it around with his mom and brother. I'm like, yep, you are comparable to Tom Brady, 10-year-old. Good job.
Yep. Well, and I know, I get that. But I mean, it was still, this is the main thing I took from this story, aside from the factor of is Tom Brady a cheater or not, that whatever. People love Tom Brady. People hate Tom Brady. It is what it is. But the factor that he was able to take football and turn it into a science fair project. I love that was, he looked at something, he plays Pop Warner football. He looked at something that he has a passion for and he was like, how can I make a hypothesis on this? How can I make a science project out of it? And I think that was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So, that was
nerd in training.
Because, you know, as I am also a former teacher, when you get to the science experiments, it's always the same old stuff. It's either the volcano or
cup of dirt,
tornadoes or erosion or your typical planet or solar system thing. And he comes out with a hypothesis that actually uses scientific data. That's freaking phenomenal for a 10-year-old. That's you're talking high school level stuff at that point.
Yeah, and he used memes, which is just keeping it fun. And of course, he had a picture of Brady crying on there. So that's
of course he did.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that was our somebody's got to talk about it. We had to let people know that football and science can be put together, and you can win science fairs with it. And hopefully, we'll try and keep updated on this. And hopefully, he wins district and sees how far this goes from here. Because now you know it's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be all over the place because Yahoo Sports is where I saw this pop up. So
I think I try to get him on the cast, man. I don't know what we'd have to do to entice him, but we got to get him on the cast.
Get his parents' permission.
Last bit on the streaming war. So Disney, when they were doing the Disney Plus, they said that their pricing will be competitive. They will be lower than Netflix. Netflix just made it easier for them by raising their prices. And it has come out that Disney is looking to throw upwards of $500+ million at their original content shows that they have coming out. The Loki show, the Scarlet Witch, Vision show, the Mandalorian, Star Wars,
the Scarlet Witch and Vision show.
It's called the Scarlet Witch and Vision show right now.
Gosh,
it's gonna be like it's gonna be like Sonny and Cher. It's a happy variety show. Yeah.
Lord.
But I mean, does that get you? And here's the thing with it. Yeah, they're gonna throw $500+ million because Disney has money to throw around. Apparently, even though they're taking a loss on this purchase right now, it's coming out. But they said they're not going to bring a ton of original content. They're not looking to create all this original content for the streaming service like Netflix does. So does that hurt? I mean, can you still see it competing? No,
yeah, but it makes sense because Netflix is trying to jump into the movies, whereas Disney already has that. So something I thought about when you were talking about that initially was I don't want them to go full bore with a bunch of, like, say, all the sub characters of Marvel or something like that, because then they're going to take away from the actual movies and everything. You know, I don't want to sit there and see to subscribe to Disney so I can watch freaking Black Widow, which that'd be cool if they had a series for it, or put her in a movie. I want to see him in the movie. Small screen is great, but the movies are so much better.
Well, what about utilizing the small screen to bring to light some of the characters that they haven't done yet and maybe don't intend to do movies on because they don't know how popular they'd be?
But that goes against
good point.
I agree with that, but that goes against their plan that they're talking about, that they're not looking to do a lot of original content. They're looking to bring...
They're just going to have a bunch of old, I mean, shows and Disney movies. I mean, that doesn't want to entice me to go.
Yeah, we're going to get the Apple whatever gang.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That Disney company, they're just real bad at decisions business-wise.
Exactly. I mean, they are smart at it. And
yeah, because when you're a parent, let's say you're a parent, and they're trying to entice these parents to come buy this service, most parents already own all the movies on DVDs. Why would they need to pay $35 a month?
But here's the thing. What they're looking at doing is rather than they're throwing some money into original content, great. But they're also going to be conglomerating a lot of other content that other people have produced. Pennies on the dollar, or you know, a reasonable price. They're not spending all that money on creation. They're just licensing, so they get to make all the money.
And it's not just throwing some money; it's $500+ million at just these original.
To Disney, that's pocket change.
I know.
True.
Mrs. Malice, you had something. I want to know what you were going to say.
Well, they haven't been doing much new content either. They keep remaking old movies that they already make all into live action, which is cool, but...
Live action. I didn't see any real lions.
I know, right? I didn't see any real lions, even though Lion King is one of my favorite Disney movies. And I do want to see the new live action because I love Lion King because I like lions and the whole story and everything. But I kind of don't want to see it live action.
Yeah, it's basically just updated
live action. But I mean, they got Aladdin coming out and all kinds of other ones. They've already done what, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, which I love Beauty and the Beast too. That was great. But at the same time, it's like, stop, come up with something new.
I kind of do want to see a live action Lion King, which is just a zoo enclosure camera with two lions, a warthog, and a meerkat. That's what happens.
No words.
With Hakuna Matata playing in the background.
Right, on a loop.
Let me bring up some of these comments. Jack says they are going to struggle. They are just going to hurt companies like Netflix and Hulu. Once again, we've brought this point up that as you create more and more of these streaming companies, they're going to start cannibalizing each other.
Well, and there's a word that you missed in there that he said, these silo streaming companies, these single platform, like one channel streaming companies. Yeah, I totally agree with him. Because they're both populated now.
Exactly. Whiskey says, if they don't make content, then what's the point? You will get through everything and then say, I'm done. Exactly. I agree. They don't keep bringing extra content, but there's Disney files, people that love Disney that are just going to latch onto this just because it's Disney.
And just a little more on the silo streaming thing. If you go back a little farther in the chat, Red Meepaw was talking about, she said, it's getting to be so expensive to subscribe to everything now. She's got, you know, Adobe, Dropbox, Spotify, Audible, Wow, Hulu, Disney, Netflix. The concept of having like $15 a month to stream most of the stuff that you want on Netflix was amazing and novel. And now we have to do it like 9 times to get all the shows you want.
I think the only company that's really going to get nervous if they do that is TNT, because now when the holidays come around, you're going to have 24 hours of A Christmas Story on TNT, and then you're going to have 24 hours on Disney Channel of A Star Wars Christmas. So they're shaking in their boots.
Oh, they should be, just from the waves of vomit should be rolling towards them. The movie is awful.
A little Death Star on top of the tree.
Don't get me started on Star Wars Christmas stuff.
Ultimately, the funny thing is, we're talking about all these different streaming channels, these different companies and everything. It's kind of ironic, but what they did to kill cable, they're probably going to start bringing it back to life, because you're going to end up spending as much money it was to watch cable than it is to just get all these channels and stuff. And now, like, look at a lot of the cable companies. Like, I haven't had Cox Communications in a long time, but they're the local ones. And if you look at all the stuff that they have now, the equipment and everything, I mean, if it gets to a point, you might as well just go back, because you could record all that stuff, stream it, do whatever you want to do, and put it on your mobile devices as well.
Hey, you know what's cool about the cable? Well, at least with our cable, we have a remote, and we could just say what movie we want to watch, and it'll come on.
I've got that on my Fire Stick.
I can't do that.
I take the 3 seconds to type it.
Soon you'll have that on the toilet, as we talked about.
3 seconds is just too long sometimes, though.
It's the old Dane Cook bit. Masonic Vader, you're kind of making the point of, like, you know, they're becoming what they were replacing. It's basically the Who song, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. People that cut the cable are now going to have to be spending just as much, if not more, for the same content.
Yep. I got mess right there.
Oh, God. Okay.
Thanks for listening in to the All Things Nerd Best of Season 3, Part 1. A new episode will be out tomorrow and for the next 8 days. If you liked what you heard, make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button. Drop a 5-star review. Thank you for checking us out. Thank you for coming back. And please join us on January 3rd, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, online or on your Twitch app at the Malice Corp channel, or twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. That would be twitch.tv at MalicCorp. Or you can check us out, any of our old previous stuff or other best ofs, on our YouTube channel on Malice Corp. Come join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast and malice-corp.com. We thank you so much. We appreciate you checking us out. We appreciate what you do. We hope you have a wonderful holiday, and we will see you in 2020. Keep nerding on.